Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is August the 24th, and I'm with Scott Patty for another Words of Grace podcast.
Good afternoon, Justin.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well today.
Good.
Thank you.
You've actually just got back from walking through our new building.
I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's coming along.
Yeah, I was over there looking at paint samples.
Oh, well, there you go. And so mentioning our building real quick for those that are listening, the 30th, which is coming up.
Yeah, Sunday.
Like Sunday, is where we're going to get to ride on the floor.
That's right.
So remind us, what are the times of that?
Starts at 12:30 and goes to 5, but okay. There are different time slots that people need to pay attention to.
Okay. Good.
We do have some people who are going to be in the building who have some health issues and that sort of thing, and so they need a certain way of doing it. So just everybody to pay attention to the schedule will be great.
Yeah, there'll be some emails going out about that.
Yeah, we'll get the email out and people can come. But mainly, you know, I think around 2 o'clock to 5 is sort of an open come one, come all signing on the floor. And what that means is, or writing on the floor, what that means is we write prayers and scripture passages on the floor. We did it in our current chapel, and we're going to do it on the floor of the new worship hall. So it'll be fun.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. I remember the last time we did it, and people were just writing very thoughtful prayers out to the Lord, and wonderful. All passages of Scripture are wonderful, but things that were really relevant to the body of Christ that really, you know, have something to say about worship and community, you know, ministry.
Yeah.
It's great. They're all over the chapel under the carpet, and they're going to be all over the worship hall floor under the carpet.
Good. Well, if you're listening, just pay attention to those emails, and you'll know when to show up, and look forward to that on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, all right, Romans chapter 6.
Yeah.
We begin there. And real quick, before we get started about an overview of the sermon, in your sermon, you did mention that as a young Christian, this was a passage of Scripture, this starting in 6, all the way through it was encouraged to be memorized as you just kind of battled with being a young man and following Christ and what that looks like. What a great section to memorize.
Yeah, it was. It still sticks in my
mind.
How
old were you when that happened?
Oh, I don't know, maybe 15.
Okay.
I was a new Christian.
Because that was pretty quick to becoming a new Christian, because you were, what, like 13 or 14 you became a Christian?
Right at 14, So maybe a year or two after, I don't really remember. I remember the person, though, the friend who was older and...
Mm-hmm. Well, you said older, and then you said 21, and everyone started laughing, like, well, that's not really old. But I guess to a 14-year-old, that's old.
Yeah, right. When you're 14 or 15 and you see somebody who's been a Christian for, you know, 3 years and and they're 21, you're like, man, this guy's got it down.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. So I'm gonna follow him and see what he has to say. Yeah. So, yeah, it was very encouraging. He just challenged me. So just go memorize these verses and these chapters, actually. And you know, I don't want to say that's the answer, and you at that point you're good to go and you'll never struggle again. But I will so be careful there, because you know, we need prayer, we need encouragement, we need teaching, we need people to unpack it for us, we need mutual discipleship. So there's more to it than just go memorize that.
Right. Yeah.
However, with all that qualification there, I will say there's something really refreshing about the simplicity of that kind of an approach to discipleship, when an older person to a younger person really challenges them to go fix their mind, his or her mind, on the truth.
Yeah.
Especially at that age when the mind is developing what we believe.
Yeah.
And what's true, and thinking about what's true. So it was extremely helpful to me. And, you know, this is funny. I know we're not here to talk about this, but this is interesting. So when you memorize, back in the day, this would be in the late 70s when this happened, the version of the Bible that a lot of us were using was the New American Standard. And some others were using the New International version. And I guess a few people were still using the King James. I don't know. But that was about it. And, you know, now we have the ESV and we have the Holman Standard, Christian Standard, and other things. So I memorized out of the New American Standard. So I have to be careful, because if I'm ever reading publicly now, if I get a little distracted, my mind can just you know, default into another translation. And then people are looking at me like, what version do you use? I'm saying, I just shake my head and say, I use the one you use. I just always, I don't always stick to it.
So. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we always will catch you in staff being like, man, you kind of trailed off there in the verse. You're like, oh, yeah, I was doing the NASB version. Yeah. It was in my head. Yeah. Well, good. Well, give us a little bit of an overview, Scott, from, you were talking about union with Christ.
Yeah.
You had four statements. Give us a little overview from Romans chapter 6.
Okay. Before I do that, Romans 6, there are so many ways into the passage. I chose this time, I look back 14 years ago when I preached this chapter the last time all the way through at Grace. I entered the chapter a little differently, but this time I chose to enter it under the heading of union with Christ based on the words in Romans 6 about you've been united with him in likeness, in the likeness of his death. You'll also be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. So, union with Christ, and I've just made 4 points. Union with Christ is the result of God's grace. Mm-hmm. Union with Christ is the reality that's rooted in the death and resurrection of Jesus, and that's a reality in which we're included. And then third, union with Christ shows us the way that we relate to God on this earth and in our bodies. And then fourth, union with Christ results in sanctification. Living out union with Christ results in sanctification and eternal life. Mm-hmm. All that from Romans 6. I think it was a, you know, a good high view of flyover view. Of
which you said you're going to come back and you're going to address more in this chapter because you didn't get to touch on everything. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think we talked about this earlier, but man, it was such a good service. It was a good service just of singing about the resurrection and life that we have in Christ. A lot of the songs were focused on that. And then
it felt like Easter, didn't it?
Yeah, you said that. And it just... I mean, it was so, the energy felt great in the room of just being with God's people, celebrating the life that we have in Christ. And I think I left very hopeful, you know, very, I have hope. This is where my hope is resting, and very good. Well, here's one question, or maybe just a clarification, kind of expand on something that you said. So you were talking about the essence of the Christian faith, and you said the essence of the Christian faith is not something, I may butcher this, so you're going to have to correct me on the way, but not a set of cultural moral codes that basically, you know, that we live out that in order to be accepted by other people. Mm-hmm. But it's rather the essence of the Christian faith is union with Christ. So again, it's not the set of these moral, cultural codes that just be accepted by others. Will you kind of elaborate on that a little bit? What were you trying to mean by that? And again, you feel free to change what I just said because I may have just butchered it.
No, that's right. So, yeah, I was looking at if you look at Romans 5 and 6, where we have been for weeks and weeks now, the Christian life, Christian faith, Christianity is defined by terms like justified, like reconciled, and now made new, you know, crucified, raised up. So these are spiritual realities that have become so by the grace of God, the work of Christ, the grace of God through the work of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. All right, that's the essence of the Christian faith. And I think... I don't know. I don't want to say it's because we're in the South. I don't want to say that because I think it might be everywhere where Christianity has had a history, generation after generation, and then it may sort of lose some of its meaning to people. But I can hear people in my mind saying of someone, you know, he or she is a good Christian person. And what they mean by that is that person... lives their lives, behaviors, and in a way that they fit in to a culture, a society, a congregation, in a peaceful, upright way that doesn't cause a lot of trouble, and that doesn't commit any really scandalous sin.
Yeah.
So, the question is that what a Christian is?
Yeah.
In the essence. Now, do we want to be around people who are nice and moral and don't do things that are overtly wrong? Well, yeah, that'd be nice. But is that what a Christian is?
Yeah, the key word there is the essence.
Yeah, is that the essence of the Christian faith? And when Paul said in Romans 6, he says, do you not know? Mm-hmm. Like they say, can we keep sinning that grace might increase? He says, do you not know?
Yeah.
Should we keep sinning because we're no longer under the law? Do you not know?
Yeah.
So he's appealing to their, says, do you get the essence of the Christian faith? And then he outlines union with Christ. So anyway, you can ask me a follow-up question, but all I was trying to do there is just say, let's remember, let's know, do you know? And then let's remember that we know.
Yeah.
That being a Christian is being in Christ.
Yeah.
With the richest of spiritual realities.
Yeah.
Of the grace of God totally changing our status before God, justified, made right, as well as our whole selves, the old self crucified, raised to a new self.
So why is that so important? Or you could look at the flip side, why is it so dangerous if you went the other route and made the essence of the Christian faith about this moral cultural code that you're accepted by others? Like, why is it important? Why could it be dangerous to go the other route?
Yeah. Oh, numerous reasons. All right, so why would it be dangerous to not know? As Paul said, do you not know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first one is a person could think he or she is a Christian when he or she might not be a Christian.
Mm, okay.
That's the big danger. So a person could say, could grow up in church and at a particular point in life ask themselves the question, am I a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
And if their only understanding of Christianity is this cultural moral code of behavior that makes them acceptable to other people, they might look around and go, well, I'm pretty acceptable to my congregation.
Yeah.
I haven't done anything that puts me out of my congregation.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done anything that's scandalous in my congregation. I'm well liked.
Yeah.
And I actually get into all this stuff. Like, I affirm it. I don't mind going to church. I like the songs. Sermons are interesting. Mm-hmm. I must be a Christian. I've even been baptized in water. I must be a Christian.
Yeah.
So without the understanding of the nature of faith and repentance and grace and transformation and, justification and reconciliation and newness of life, crucifixion of the old self, without that understanding, a person might not have any way of determining in a truthful manner whether he or she is a Christian.
Right, okay.
But if we understand it, then we can say, now, wait a minute. Let me think. Have I truly repented of my sin and trusted Christ for my salvation? Then another danger of not knowing is that if you don't know, you don't experience the power and the joy of being a Christian.
Yeah.
So I if the answer is no, I don't know that that's the essence of the Christian life, that I'm crucified with Christ and made new through the resurrection of Jesus, then where's the power to fight sin in my life? Where's the joy? Where's the motivation for worship?
Mm-hmm.
I can't find a great reason to worship God if Christianity is just about making sure I conform to everybody else's expectation of me.
Right.
God's really doesn't even have to be in that picture.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I get the riches of the blessings of the gospel and understand I was dead in sin, now I've been raised with Christ, I got all kinds of reason to worship.
Right.
So I could go on and on.
Yeah, and as I was hearing you talk about this, and even now, it's the more and more I'm listening to you, it sounds like you're saying the essence of the Christian faith, union in Christ, is so important because it gives us the power and the perspective and the foundation for our obedience, our growth.
Yep.
Because I think sometimes we can start the obedience side, but this is where it begins. This union with Christ is what fuels us, explosive power of a new affection in a lot of ways, which you talk about so much at Grace.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of where it begins.
Yeah. Exactly, and that's coming up in a few weeks.
Yeah.
A person could think that their life is becoming like Christ if all they're doing is conforming to the expectations of their community.
Yeah.
When in reality, to conform to the image of Christ is to live by the power of the Holy Spirit and to grow in the same holiness of love and of singular devotion to God that Jesus himself had.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a different. Those are two different things.
Yeah, good.
So when we get a little further deeper into Romans 6, we're going to talk about that too. But back to your question, what's the danger of not knowing that the essence is about union with Christ and only thinking that the essence is a code of conduct to make you acceptable? You just miss the power and the joy of holiness, of walking in Christ's likeness.
Yeah, and that's what I feel like I got from the service. Good. I mean, that's what I felt like from the music and the preaching. That's what I was getting.
Yeah.
The joy of the Christian life. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm trying to, like, why was it so enjoyable? There it is. It felt like in the service, that's what I was being reminded of.
Yeah.
This is where your joy is. Yeah. It was so encouraging. From Romans 6.
Well, I'm glad we had this podcast to help you come to the realization of why you enjoyed Sunday morning. Yeah. It was a worship time.
It was so good. Oh, yeah, Justin, you were worshiping God. Yeah. Okay, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Well, it was a great sermon and a great start to Romans chapter 6. And I know we'll be in here for the next,
couple weeks,
whatever, however long. We're not going to put a time on it. Right. We don't do that around here.
That's right.
So, well, again, thank you, Scott. We look forward to another week.
Thanks, Justin.
All right.